Praise the Lord. This morning, Father, we are gathered again to hear you speak, to watch you change our lives, and to participate by faith. There is no man who can do these things except God be with him. Lord, you have helped us and we trust you for this morning again. We ask, oh God, that you bless us. In the name of Jesus Christ, cause us to see and grant in the name of Jesus Christ that we will walk in the power of what we have seen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Conferences like this are primarily designed to open our eyes. Much more than miracles. I know that we want to see the power of God. We want to be healed. We want to be delivered. But I think it's important that I emphasize the irreplaceable value of an enlightened spirit and an enlightened mind. True deliverance is when the word of God shifts your perspective over an issue to now have the mind of Christ concerning that issue. Are we together? So we must delight as the word of God comes. It is not the word of God in itself that changes people. The word of God in itself cannot change people. It is the word of God that is accurately communicated and understood and received by faith. That's the word that changes. Satan was standing before the word. It didn't do anything to him. So proximity to the word does not guarantee transformation. There must be an opening. Two men were walking with the word on the streets to Emmaus. Although their hearts were pricked, but it didn't bring transformation. Jesus sat at table and the Bible says, when the bread was broken, their eyes were open. And then he left. And they said, did our hearts not burn? So we can have all the emotions that come with the teaching of the word, but I like our hearts to be passionately open. It is the assignment of the apostolic ministry, much more than miracles, signs and wonders, to make all men see. To make all men see. To make all men see. When you read the Bible, there were certain people who needed miracles in groups. And Jesus isolated certain individuals, blessed them and left the rest. Blindness was not part of it. Every time Jesus saw blind people, he was unusually sympathetic to their situation because it was a reflection of the darkness in the spirit. When he was passing Jericho for the last time, blind Bartimaeus began to cry, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus had to stop and grant him access to his sight. It is a powerful miracle. Understanding is such a miracle. The Bible says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand scripture. Remember when Philip came by the Spirit and met the Ethiopian Enoch. The first question he asked him was, understandest what thou readest? He was reading Isaiah 61, the messianic prophecy, but he was barren of understanding. In fact, the assignment, the character of the spirit of the Antichrist is that his system of dominion over the saints is to cause their minds to be blinded. That's what the Bible says, that the God of this world is able to cause their mind. He doesn't need to bind your hand, doesn't need to bind your feet, doesn't need to bind your finances. He does something to your understanding that makes you a slave forever. Understanding is a spirit. We must desire it passionately. Satan prefers a church with people who are healed than a church with people who are spiritually enlightened. It is true. Are we blessed this morning? So we must passionately covet the enlightenment that the word brings. John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, for the light shineth in darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Every time light comes, the dominion power of light over darkness is incontestable. Isaiah 60 and verse 1 says, arise, shine. He says, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Jesus himself began to give a parable, and he says, the system of the kingdom is like unto a man who got his treasure missing. And the Bible says the first thing he did was to light a candle, and he began to use that candle to search. That's what the word does. There are revelations that when you know, certain realities in your life become automatic. There is no struggle over it. It's not by trying. It's a revelation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's my prayer this morning that not only will God visit us by His anointing, by His grace, but that He will open our eyes. I just thought that I needed to focus our attention, because I know that, you know, when it comes to things that have to do with impartation, sometimes you can forget the word. You are just hoping, oh God, when will my own grace come? The revelation is like the container that the anointing rests upon. You see that? When you pour one bucket of water on someone's hand, you will waste a major part of it. And so you enlarge capacity first. The problem is never the oil, but the vessel that carries it. He said, go and borrow vessels. You don't borrow oil, but you can borrow vessels. He said, borrow not a few. When you enlarge your capacity, the oil will start growing to match the vessel. You step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. You're the light of the world. You step down to my darkness, open my eyes, let me see. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am, saying, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my. This morning I'm teaching very briefly on the mystery of spiritual hunger. Please listen to this message with all your heart. It will shift you to untold dimensions in the spirit. The mystery of spiritual hunger. Psalm 63, the mystery of spiritual hunger. While you listen again, please be sensitive. Be very sensitive. The word of God that is taught, if it is accurately taught, has the anointing component of that word. You see, the proof that the word of God has entered you is the grace component of that revelation will also follow the word, so that you can demonstrate the validity of that word. Any revelation you claim to have understood without the grace component to prove its validity is a lie. If the word of God enters you, the anointing that is back of that word will also come with it to grant you grace to prove that you have received it. Are we together? One of the things that God is helping us in this conference to do is to train our sensitivity. Psalm 63. Hallelujah. Psalm 63. We're going to preach, but I just saw a light flash right from heaven down, and the Lord told me He's bringing breakthrough. This is just one person. The anointing of the Spirit is coming on one lady. Just is a breakthrough for your family. That very person. It's a strange visitation. Let's just let that happen and then I'll continue. I saw that light. The angel of the Lord's presence will find that one lady. It's a strong anointing. This is a visitation that is uprooting. I'm seeing what looks like age-long captivity that has kept that family down. So when we see these things, remember it is the spirit and the bride. Every time the spirit has said come, the bride must be ready to say come too. The word only comes when the spirit and the bride say come. When he says be healed, then the bride responds be healed. That is the secret of miracles. You never say what God has not said. You never do what God is not doing. Thank you, Jesus. This person I'm talking about is outside. Is that person here? Please find that person and bring that person. And anoint him. I just want to prophesy to that person quickly.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
The anointing of the Spirit upon that person, that one person. I had someone shouting outside in tongues or so, or wherever. Please, let me just have the person. Let's save time. Come again. Okay, Victor will help. When you find that person, let me prophesy to that person. I still see that light again. What is God doing? Shalatos kabaronda dialakata. This is not inside. Don't worry. This is outside. The angel of the Lord is going outside. There is someone, I don't know where, but it's the vicinity outside. It's an anointing. This is the yoke of captivity being broken. Let it be by your word, O God. I stretch my hands from here in the name of Jesus to all those in the regions at the overflow.
Break every chain. Halabanosa di alakatosia.
Captivity ended by the anointing of the Spirit. When you find that person, those outside, let me just have the person in to speak with the person. But let me just say, I'm seeing the lady standing there. I stretch my hands from here in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name that is above all names, I command every yoke of darkness over your family to be broken now. I release a visitation for you and for your family. In the name of Jesus Christ. No, you don't have to bring her out again. I stretch my hands already. The Lord is doing a strange miracle, not just in your life, but in the life of your family members. It will surprise you what it is that the Lord will do. You will never, can never, never, ever be the same. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 63. Are we blessed already this morning? Psalm 63. Shalabos Yakata. A lady, I don't know what it is with ladies now, a lady, as I'm teaching, is receiving new tongues from the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit, but I'm seeing new tongues. This is an impartation of new tongues that God is giving. It's a dimension of the prayer language that will shift you to a new level in the Spirit. Whoever that person is that this word is for, I release that grace right now. New tongues in the Spirit. It will be utterances that are not the normal prayer language that you usually will have. They are very strange utterances of the Spirit. And as I prophesied it in the course of this meeting, you will see that the hand of God will come upon you and energize your spirit. Languages help us to communicate spiritual realities. The Bible says that he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. So So this is a scripture that has to do with seeking the face of God. It says, my soul thirsts for thee. Listen carefully, don't assume you understand it. My flesh. Now this is very strange. He's telling us all the components within him that are participating in this touch. He said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What am I seeking for? To see your power and your glory revealed in my life as I have seen in the sanctuary. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Timing matters when you really want to find God. He said, they that seek me early will find me. It matters. While Pastor was speaking, that was all the ministration that was in my spirit. That it is possible that a man can seek God late. You will find him but not be able to maximize to your generation the full import of receiving him. There were certain things that Jacob found towards the end of his life. And it didn't help him to maximize himself so much as he began to bless his sons. It is powerful to find God early in life. It will give you time to exhaust the multifaceted dimensions of him deposited within you. Are we together? Early will I seek you. It says, my soul thirsts for you. So the soul of man can be thirsty. Interesting. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh, my body. The same way I hunger after food, my body longs for you. It says, my life is described in the similitude of a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. And you are that river that I long for. This is the portrait of a man who is exhibiting what we call spiritual hunger. Now, for you to understand the full context of this scripture, you must understand the man we are talking about here. The man we are talking about here is not a failure. The man we are talking about here is not one who has been bankrupt of the presence of God, nor prosperity, nor results. We are talking about a man here who very few men on earth would dare attain his level of achievement. And here's his testimony. Reminds me of Paul the Apostle at the apex of his ministry. This is what he said, that I may know him. That a man had gotten to a point where he had exhausted. Do you know that Paul was, he sat in such a throne of revelation that as the apostle of the Lamb, he began to tell people the basis of his apostleship. He said, look, when you hear these mysterious teachings, let it not surprise you. He says, I have been called, I have been made a partaker. It's a fellowship of a mystery, like a cult. You initiate a man into a dimension. And Paul said, this is what happened to me. So that when you read my writings, you will understand the basis upon which I authorize what I do. The church in Corinth never knew that the gifts of the Spirit were called the gifts of the Spirit. It was Paul who, through his understanding, sat the church in a conference like this and began to teach them the operation of spiritual things. To the point that Peter himself testified of the dimensions of the grace of God committed to Paul. And in the midst of all of that, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. Hunger is proof that you are okay. Hunger is proof that you are healthy. One of the indices to measure spiritual health is your ability, or physical health, is your ability to be hungry. Is that true? No matter how poor a family is, when someone does not eat, it's an issue of concern. They don't say, thank God we are saving the little we have. Even in time of famine, hunger is expected. Are we together? When visitors come to your house after a long journey, any responsible family will immediately find at least water for them to drink, because human beings were designed to be hungry. So one of the symptoms of ill health is the loss of appetite. Is God speaking to us this morning? When people have all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, you find out that for 3 days, 4 days, 1 week, they are unable to eat anything reasonable. And then you find out that their physiology begins to be affected. One thing went wrong, lack of hunger, and every other thing began to follow. Spiritual hunger. You can measure the health of a man. You see parents who have their little babies, and for a while the baby is not willing to receive breast milk. They take the baby to the hospital and they say, "Doctor, something is wrong. My baby I can't understand why the baby is not sucking." And the doctor says, something is wrong. The baby is trying to begin to teeth, and so it is affecting the hunger. So you manage that situation hoping that it will be restored. And you look at the hunger. You use the hunger as an index to see the wellness of the baby. When the baby begins to cry and suck, then you are happy. Are you blessed? The way it is in the physical, that is the way it is in the spirit. You can measure your spiritual health not just by the amount of fasting and prayer alone. Primarily, the moment the appetite for spiritual things is dwindling, your life is under attack. You don't need to see any demon. You don't need to have any dream. Your life is under attack. And let me tell you the irony about the anointing. You can still be preaching while the hunger is lost. You can still be doing evangelism while the hunger is lost. When you off a fan, it doesn't stop rotating. It's still rotating, but it's using the residual energy. There is nothing else to take it far. Are we together? Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul longs for you. My flesh longs for you to see your power and your glory in my life as I have seen in the sanctuary. Jesus was teaching in what we call the Beatitudes. And here's what he said. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Now he says it that is after righteousness. But whatever you hunger and thirst after, your hunger and thirst creates a system of attraction in the spirit. Listen very carefully. There is a law in the spirit called the law of consistency. That every time you consistently do a thing on earth, you are attracting the spirit dimension of that reality. Let me explain to you. If I steal pastor's Bible, I wasn't led by a demon. It was an act of my human will. That act is not enough to attract the spirit of theft. If I steal again the second time, watch this. If I steal again the third time, my consistency is attracting the spirit that makes men to be addicted to that act. A day will come, as I steal, it will no longer be me. A spirit has been attracted through my consistency. From that day, I can't stop stealing again, except I'm delivered. So also, you can go to the place of prayer. The first day, you are tired, you did it by yourself. The second day, then you continue 1 week. Your consistency is calling a dimension of the Holy Ghost called the spirit of prayer and supplication. Now, many people do not understand the system of God. So you allow the weakness of the flesh. Sometimes you go there and you yawn and you are sleeping. Just continue. When you stop, you rob yourself. A day will come in that prayer altar. You attract the spirit of prayer and supplication. When that grace comes on you, not even you can stop it again. Are you getting blessed? So your hunger is a voice in the spirit.
Every time you are hungry spiritually, it's a voice in the realm of the spirit saying, Lord, I ever need your presence. Lord, I am ever aware of my insufficiency outside of your grace. So when a man gets to a point where he no longer is spiritually hungry, it's also a message to God that, Lord, I have come to a point in my life where I've used you enough to not need you again. And the system of the kingdom is such that every time men don't call on God, he stays back. It is true. God does not just come to men because they are his creation. There must be a cry from the earth to heaven. Here's what the Bible says. It says, if my people, they are my people, they are also called by my name, but I will never come to them. It says they shall humble themselves. Is that true? It says they shall pray. Then they shall seek my face. That means seeking God's face is more than prayer. Because they have already prayed, yet they didn't seek his face. They shall pray. Then after praying, they seek my face. And then the Bible says they turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will come and heal their land. The fact that you are born again or you are in Christ does not automatically attract the presence of God. It is something that is very difficult for believers to understand because of the dimensional operation of the kingdom life. Pastor is many things to many people. Do you agree with me? To certain people, pastor is a friend and a brother. That's a dimension of him. Is that true? To pastor's wife, pastor is her husband. Is that true? To pastor's children, pastor is their father. Is that true? To the church here, he's a spiritual father and a mentor. There are dimensions of pastor that some people may never see, like his dimension as a husband. You can never see, but that doesn't mean it's not there. That it has not been captured in your experience does not mean it's not there. If you stay with only pastor as a brother and a friend and you do not know the other dimensions, when someone who has seen that dimension is talking, you will not understand. I said this to explain to you, because the Bible says we have received the fullness of him. Why are you now talking of seeking his face? The people who speak like this are talking from different dimensions. So the first thing is to assess what dimension. This is a mistake that a lot of people have, and they say, oh, I have the fullness of Christ already. You are right, but you are wrong. You are right based on the dimension you are seeing. When you are talking about the gospel of salvation, you are right. But when you switch to the gospel of the kingdom, you are wrong. There are seven gospels in the Bible. I'll talk only about two of them. One is called the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation, in that gospel, God is revealed as Father. Jesus is revealed as Son who becomes Savior. Are we together? The body is revealed as sinners in need of salvation. The entire text of that gospel is a revelation of the love of the Father through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the response of fallen man to that gift. There are two things you receive as a result of receiving that gospel. Number one, the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. It empowers you to reign in life. But that's not the only gospel. There are many other gospels. Not erroneous gospels now. The seventh of them is called the gospel of the kingdom. When Jesus came, even the gospel of salvation, he taught us, was a subset of the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation is your entry. It helps you to walk in the reality. When you come to the gospel of the kingdom, Christ is no longer Savior. He is King. You see that? The gospel of the kingdom has nothing to do with sinners. It's a family affair. The gospel of the kingdom is a system of kingdom advance. God is no longer just brother and friend and savior. No. He is King. Sovereign, seated in heaven. In the gospel of salvation, you only believe and receive by faith because we do not have any capacity to save ourselves. In the gospel of the kingdom, you must participate as proof of your love for God. So when people speak in the Bible, we should not only interpret everything from one singular lens, we'll be in error. For instance, it was Paul who taught us about the reality of righteousness. But hear what he says in chapter 7 of Romans, that with my body, with my spirit, I serve the Lord. And with my body, I see another law working in my members. Where was his righteousness consciousness? Where was the awareness? Listen very carefully. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Then Paul now comes to say to hold your profession of faith. You see that when you read the Bible without the Holy Ghost, you are totally confused. Paul is saying something today. He's saying another thing tomorrow. He's saying that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. And then Paul is saying, "My little children, of whom I travail until Christ be formed in you." Paul, what are you saying? These are dimensional operations of the Spirit. It is the same way God speaks to. God can speak to you and say, "Pastor, build that church." That is the prophetic dimension of his speaking. You see that now? But there is another dimension of his speaking where he's waiting for your hunger to call him to give you the details. If you stay only in the prophetic dimension, you will keep seeing the church built in a dream, but you will never see it manifest. The Bible says, right from the foundations of the Lamb of the earth, the Lamb had been slain. There is a dimension in God where possibilities have already been settled. But the Bible says we do not yet see all things under his feet. This is your Bible. The mistake, especially as precious men and women of God, is that we interpret everything from the lens of our limitation. And so some things don't make sense until you stand from a particular perspective. Then you will understand. Is God helping us this morning already? When we teach on spiritual hunger like this, sometimes a lot of immature believers don't see the relevance. And they say, "Look, what you are saying is total nonsense. There's no such thing. I'm one with Christ. I'm one with the Holy Spirit. There is no need for hunger." It is true, based on the redemptive dimension. But when you look at it from the kingdom perspective, you are so very wrong. In the mind of God, there's not one person who should be poor. Is that true? There is a provision based on a perspective of God that has covered that. But in experience, we still see that believers are being taught. Is that true? Experientially, the Bible says every house is built by some man, yet every house is built by God. What is this confusion again? God, what are you saying? That every house is built by some man, yet the builder is God. So what is the man? God rejected Saul as king. Samuel refused and said, "God, me have not rejected him." And all of a sudden, David could not be anointed. Heaven had anointed David. Earth refused to anoint David. And David remained in the wilderness. It was already the will of God for David to be anointed, but on earth a priest said, "No, I'm still negotiating." And God had to come and explain to him and say, "Look, Samuel, how long will you wait? Seeing that I have rejected Saul, cooperate with me." And you would have seen a vision that all of a sudden David is king, and go and announce and say, "Men of God, I had a deep revelation yesterday. I saw David becoming king." And then after 10 years, David is not king, and they will look at you and say, "You are a false prophet." You are not false. There is more to the kingdom than just seeing. There was a priest on earth that needed to agree with God. The Spirit had said, "Anoint him." The bride said, "No." God had to come and cooperate. For 400 years, according to prophecy, it was time for Israel to come out of Egypt, but a man was not ready. 30 years was added, not as a result of God's will, as a violation of his patterns. It is very possible that the dimension you are entering now, God desired it more than 5 years ago. You saw it in your dream. You saw it in your vision. Listen, the day Jesus was baptized was not the day God planned for him to be baptized. The day Jesus was baptized was the day he found John the Baptist. If he found John the Baptist 2 weeks ago, he would have been baptized 2 weeks ago and his heavens would be open 2 weeks ago. There are some things that synchronize to divine timing, but many things on earth lag because of the imperfections of the vessels. There are very few activities on earth that happen exactly as heaven ordained it. Are we blessed? It is true. It is those imperfections that make God look like a liar. So God can look at you, and you can have visions, and God can reveal to you that by this time next year, you will be walking in the realms of multi-millions. You will say amen. And by next year, you will be surprised that you will beg for transport to go to church. And then you meet God and say, Lord, what about what we said? God says, it's still the same. I'm not changing anything because of your situation. There is a dimension of me you have not accessed. And your inability to access that dimension is what makes you interpret me as a liar. When you see those other dimensions, you will know that I am just. If I stop here this morning and you understand what I've taught you, you will be really blessed. So many believers just sit down and say, God said this, I saw this in a dream, and then they sit down and it never happens. Others get up and they begin to move in the flesh and it also never happens. And the two groups are confused. There is a place for spiritual hunger. I like the way Sinash puts it. Now the more I know you, the more I want to know you. Listen, when you meet God, the proof that you met God is that you live hungrier than you came. Now it's a mystery, because you will also live filled, yet you will live hungry. How many of you have cried for a dimension in the spirit, and the moment you got there, you almost felt it was a lie, except for the result? Oh God, grant me a dimension of anointing, and you got there. You can see that you have shifted in the spirit, but you are surprised that the hunger never really changed. And you are like, oh God, I thought if I begin to prophesy, so this is all there is to it. There is still hunger. It's a system to keep you going. It's a system to keep you going. I've taught again and again that God lures men into his presence by hunger. He introduces a dimension higher than your current experience. And then when he gets your attention, he hides it so that you will follow him. You see that? So I give you an instance. You're a man of God who usually will not walk in certain dimensions of the anointing, but you get to a meeting and great and mighty things happen that you cannot account for. You can't even reproduce the result because you don't know what happened. You were just grateful that that happened in your presence. Are we together? When you see that, chances are that you will be happy. They will say, man of God, you have shifted. Or then you go for another meeting and see the you of before back again. God used that meeting to tell you, I want to shift you, but you must seek that dimension. It is you now who will go to God and say, Lord, I can't taste of these ones. And I gave a word of knowledge. I was even afraid. I had Sarah. I thought it was my mind. And I said, Sarah, and someone just said yes. Then the next day you go somewhere and you say, Victor. And something, I'm not Victor. My name is James. God is saying, Mr. Man, don't be embarrassed by your inaccuracy. Let it draw you to the secret place where you can now begin to gain mastery. There are many of us that have seen dimensions that you know it's not your prayer life that brought. It's not your fasting. You just sat down and in 1 week non-stop, alert every day. After 1 week it stopped. God is saying it's a realm that can be your realm if you seek me. You remain like that and that realm goes. The journey in the wilderness continues. God uses the Bible says, oh, taste and see. There is a taste. I know that there are people who do it here, but back north where I come from, these are Hausa people that sell sell suya. When you come, I don't know if they do it here, they can cut a little before you, they don't care whether you buy it or not. They just say, look, a trial will convince you. So they cut something, put it around pepper, and you plan to buy for 500 naira. But after you taste, that taste don't, what is this? I can give my mother, I can give you. You end up spending 5,000 that you didn't bargain for. That's what happens. So you usually will pray 30 minutes before, and then God does something for you in a meeting one day, and you go for 3 days dry, unplanned. He stimulated hunger in and through your life. Listen very carefully. Spiritual hunger is a measure of spiritual health. Spiritual hunger is a measure of spiritual health. If you are not hungry for God, for prayer, for the word, for corporate fellowship, it's a sign that your spiritual life is under attack. Are we together? Seated here today looking at me, there are many of you. You open your Bible. Let me tell you how to begin to know your spiritual life is under attack. You open your Bible and you don't know exactly what chapter. You just open your Bible and for hours you are reading the same line. You thought you are finished. You are not sleeping. You are awake. You drop that Bible and carry your phone and you see it's 3 hours. You were trying to respond to a quick mail, and that quick mail became playing video game, and the video game became playing something. So you can see that you have hunger, just not for God. There was hunger for something else. People come to church and after 30 minutes you see the flesh reacting. They almost look nauseated, and immediately you share the grace. They won't go home. They will stand behind the car and discuss for the next 3 hours. So they had time. It's just that it's not for God. Are we together? A young man can be in a hurry to finish his prayer. 30 minutes and say, Lord, I've finished. Every other thing, please let Apostle taught us mercy. He said, let your mercy just cover everything. And as soon as you are done, on your way out, you see a lady you are hoping to marry. And she said, my dear, she said, just wait, I'm coming. And that gentleman stands there. And after 3 hours, she said, I hope you are not angry. Say, me, angry? What for? No. Can't be angry. It's called hunger. Listen very carefully. That gentleman has wasted 3 hours of his time and he's not offended. Look at the joy on his face. She just came out, waved him and said, please, let me just tidy up something. Hunger. Every time you are not hungry for God, that hunger is still there. Something else replaced God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It is impossible to say you are not hungry for God and not hungry for any other thing. No. The moment you find out you are not hungry for the things of God, start checking your life. You will soon find something that seemed worthy enough for that hunger. Some of us, it's business. You just found out that you got so into this thing, there is this money that you must force to arrive. And in the name of Jesus, even your retreat has to wait. That when that money arrives, after all, the kingdom will benefit from it. And we think it's a legitimate excuse. This man who wrote this scripture was a king. He was a busy man. He was a man who had seen wealth, had seen every other thing. And he says, oh God, you are my God. I still seek you. I still seek you. I still seek you. Do you have time for the things of God? You would go to pray. 10 minutes, you are just mumbling tongues and you are moving around. And then just standing and worrying and then thinking. And then a call comes and you say, oh God, this is the call I've been waiting for. And from a brief call, you stop praying. Then it's a text and you turn and see that it's evening. You say, how time flies. You had time for something else. For the more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. For the more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. You see, in the kingdom, revelation is like a gift pack There is a hunger level that is tied to every dimension of revelation. Are we together? Just like the vision of Ezekiel. God supplies revelation to you only proportionate to your level of hunger. Even if you come to a meeting, you can hear deep things, but your hunger level will only receive the one sufficient for that level, and every other thing won't make sense. Even if you are shouting, "Wow, man of God," even if you are writing, your hunger will peg the dimension of God that you can see. Have you gone to fast and read a scripture you always read, and all of a sudden you saw something you never saw? It was always there, but there was a hunger requirement for that dimension to be open to you. Nobody gives everything he has cheaply like that. No. You can look at it, but it doesn't mean that you have it. There are many people who want superior dimensions of the anointing. But those dimensions are maintained by certain levels of hunger. It's like building a skyscraper on a foundation that was meant for a hut. You see that? When you desire certain levels of graces, it's not just a grace. There is a dimension of a posture you must take in the spirit that can continue to maintain that anointing, that grace. There is a minimum level of time requirement for prayer. There are periodic times. Did you know that because God takes you to certain dimensions, there are some things someone will do, God will keep quiet, he will do it, and God will say, "Let's go for a retreat." What was Moses' sin? Just to be angry and strike a rock instead of talking to it. What was Zechariah's sin? Just to ask the angel, "Please, angel, you know I'm human. Help me." And the angel said, "You are joking. I shut your mouth." Mary asked the same question and the angel explained. That's unfair. But one was a young virgin. One was a priest. There were expectations. Zechariah, you know God more than this. "I am Gabriel. Have you not known that in the presence of God there is no falsehood? Will I leave the presence of God and come and lie? Is God so weak that his presence will not judge falsehood in me?" Let's shut his mouth. And Mary said, "How shall these things be?" He said, "You have lived among people full of unbelief, rabbis, etc. Let me explain to you. This is how it will happen." That's why some people will... they don't know God and they can sit down. They don't pray, they don't fast. But the day they call on Jesus for 5 minutes, he will respond to them in the way you get after 3 days fasting. And you are saying, "Lord, this is unfair. Because that man was a herbalist all his life. He never said Jesus. To whom much is given, much is required." So your unbelieving father just sits down and says, "Lord, if you are alive, step in." No. And God steps in as if he has been fasting for 2 weeks. And you are there at the back of one tree, crying and saying, "Lord, will you not visit me?" And God says, let's go on. Spiritual realities. But you see, you will think you are being cheated until he is done with you. Then you will see the kind of glory and grace that comes. Many of you tonight, do you know why I'm teaching you this? Because of what you are about to receive this night. This is a morning service we must round up. Most people just think anointing... Let me tell you something. This anointing thing you see, if your capacity is not built for it, it can kill you. It's true. Do you know there are people who died and it's the anointing that killed them? Not sin, not Satan. The anointing is like a knife. You can hold it in a way. Have you seen people shoot themselves by mistake? They held a gun and played with it thinking it was a toy until they died. When the anointing comes upon your life, can you survive the attack? Do you have the spiritual capacity to survive the attacks that come to you because of that level of grace? There are some of you, when the anointing comes into your life, you will almost hate it. Because for the first time, someone will stand in front of you and say, "I am convinced you are a devil. And God will say, don't pray about it, don't talk about it, let's go for the conference. And God will say, did you hear what he said? I said, well, you are the one who said you wanted the anointing, let's go. And then when you enter that conference, the first word of knowledge is for that person. And God says, make sure you minister it with compassion, as befits a man of God. There is a price. There is a huge price.
I hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land, for all I want is you. I hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land, for all I want.
You can look at a society and know that there is no spiritual hunger. Carnality everywhere. 5 minutes for the things of God. No, sir. No, sir. There are many of us seated here. When it comes to the things of the kingdom, no hunger, no fire. Prayer meetings in church, empty. When you organize a program that has to do with miracles, here they come flocking. But anything that has to build the spirit man, they hate it. It's a plague. It's a symptom of a spiritual disease. The moment the things of this world occupy your heart more, the Bible calls them lovers of pleasure. It didn't say there's anything wrong with pleasure, but an appetite for pleasure more than God is a sign that your life is under attack. Some of you looking at me here, with all due respect, you can kill because of money. No matter what prayer you are praying, if your pocket looks like something, you open your eyes and say, what's happening? And make sure that money is safe, then continue praying, and God is watching. And then you shout and say, I'm a kingdom millionaire. God says, no, no. Kingdom millionaires are those who have died. Everything, whether I keep money with me or with them, is still the same. They have so died, when I make a call, it goes. When the things of God, listen carefully, when the things of the Spirit are not of interest to you, don't say, I'm not a Pentecostal, I'm not this. I was so blessed when they spoke about our Anglican brother here who came. He took hunger. Where did he come from, sir? From all the way from Newe, and he came because of hunger. I'm told that there are people who came from so far, traveled from different places. It's called hunger. The same way a man desperately in need of political power can travel from Nigeria to Sudan and travel from Nigeria to India and meet a man, and he said, you mean you went through all the rigors of visa to come here? He said, that's how much I want that office. It is because we have not seen the value of God in our lives. That's why we don't seek him. Are we together? Now, I will bring out money now and use. Now, some of you are going to understand what I'm teaching. Watch this. Everybody look at this. If you can look at this. If you were passing, are we together? You were passing desperately in need of transport, with under a hot sun. Watch this. And I'm not saying you are a thief. Just follow my story. Let me finish. You were passing and you didn't just see money fall. You saw me holding it. And I saw you passing. And I said, useless money. You will be angry on behalf of Nigeria for me or towards me. Do you know why? You know the value of this. Brothers and sisters, this is a plate of food and cold water and transport back home. I'm playing with your intelligence by playing with this, because you know the value. You will take the patience to wait and say, sir, this is not fair. This is Nigeria's money. Why are you doing this? And then I ask you, what is your business? I say, it's my business. I'm a Nigerian. You are feeling the pain just because something of value was left to disrepute. Now watch this. If you are on your way running for an exam, final year, are we together? And all of a sudden, a check that your uncle wrote for you of 200,000, the wind just carried it. What will you do? Is it true that you will run for the exam? You will stop there. Even if it's in the mud, you will carry it and clean it. You say the bank will understand. That's, you have seen the value. Is that true? So the way you seek God is the revelation of His usefulness in your life. Many of us have gauged God and have seen that, God, you are one of the very important things in my life, but I don't think you are too important to give you 1 hour. What for? I rather will give social media. I rather will give this. Hunger is a measure of passion. Hunger is a revelation of the usefulness of God. He said, for your love is better than life. Are we together? I saw a policeman outside when I came. If that policeman sees you marching on money like this in the afternoon, just marching on money, on behalf of Nigeria, he will call you. If he verifies you are not mad, you at least kneel down there. Something has to happen to you to teach you a lesson. Because he will say, I represent justice in this nation. You don't match our money like this. Let me ask you a question. If Donald Trump takes Nigerian 1,000 naira, I'm sorry for doing this, just an example, and drops it down and matches it, do you know there will be war just for doing this? So, when you pick God like a piece of note, and you say, God, you even said devotion, okay, let me give you 10 minutes today and so that you don't harass me. Let me open my Bible. What are we reading today? John chapter what? I will call you, please. Let me finish all this church devotion thing. God is watching you and saying, so this is all I am to you. He sees the same passion with your academics. He sees the same passion with every other thing. And then usually when we're in trouble, we run back to Him. And all the other things that claim to be Him will leave us. And yet He will still come in His mercy. What a God we serve. What a God. And say, come. Oh Lord, my final exam. You can't play games with me. I cry for grace. Even if I offended you, let me just pass. And then I will fast and say sorry. But please don't. I don't want to hear any stories. And God says, I still love you. And your result will come out and you will see something you are sure. Out of 5 questions, you are only sure of half of the first one. Yet you got B. You know that that's not your hand. And then the moment we are done, the fortitude to seek Him again will never come. There are some of us, the moment we get into ministry, we close the door of His presence and continue being preachers. A preacher is not a seeker of His presence. Listen very carefully. God is speaking to many of us here. This is the reason why some of us never seek His power. A man of God once asked me and said, Apostle, you are a very strange man. What is the secret behind your teachings and the grace of God? I told him, I said, Mr. Man, it is not the talking. It is what I do behind the veil. So I come. How is that song? As I enter the throne room, and I cast myself down at your feet. You are holy, thou art holy, there is none like you. In your presence, that is where we must be. The Bible says, that dwells. You dwell in your house, you visit a shop. You don't dwell in a shop. If you dwell in a shop, you are either the owner or something is wrong there. You go to a shop to quickly pick something and then return back home. Any responsible man should be found in his house after a certain period of time. Is that true? Any responsible young child should be found at home. The presence of God. The same way the fish lives in water, when you bring it out of water, that fish is almost choking to death because the water is the habitation. The birds will fly and then look for trees. The believer was designed to live in His presence. In Him we live. In Him. Not just in Him like Christ, in His presence. Moses said, I know the value of your presence. Pharaoh is a wizard. Don't let us disgrace ourselves here. The secret to our shame be rolled away is remaining in your presence. Lord, we will not go. We rather that they laugh and say we are confused than for us to go without your presence. Many of us, your trouble started when you left alone. God started with you, but you got to a point where you felt the road was clear. He said, Lord, go back to heaven. From that day, attacks came till today. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord, my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. I am seeking your face. I'm touching your grace. In the cleft of the rock.
Listen, brothers and sisters. One of the greatest secrets of my life is my hunger for God. You want to know the secret behind the anointing? It's not just fasting and prayer. If it's not hunger that leads you to the fasting and prayer, it's still a waste of time. I don't only love God, I seek Him. Ministry is a joke. Ministry will go 1,000 times. Let me tell you this. I'm rounding up. The presence of God holds what we are dying to get. The favor. You can be in the presence of God and He wakes a man up. Are we together? On our way coming, my protocol just told me that a man, I don't know if he's a man in this city or whatever, one very, very wealthy man who said that, please, he wants to see me. I said, what for? I said, I'm on my way to go to church, please. Let's go and visit the house of God. Whereas someone else wants to see that same man, whoever the person is. Is that true? And then the man can go and queue and bribe and do everything. Brothers and sisters, stop chasing what only His presence can give you.
You alone are my heart. Desire and I know to worship.
Whoever lied to you that the presence of God does not carry value. Who lied to you that the presence of God does not give you prosperity? Who lied to you that the presence of God does not give you influence? By the grace of God, I have stood before kings. I have stood before nobles. Before people who I would never be able to stand. The presence of God put me there. What education could not do for me, the presence gave me. What age could not do for me, the presence gave me. Let me tell you this. Listen to me. Return back to His presence and find life. Find honor. Find glory. It's not about going around. There are some of you, you are music artists, carrying your albums, running around. Invite me, I promise you. Leave all of that and go to the presence of God. Let Him beg you and announce you. You will go for one meeting and the entire city will open for you. David remained in the wilderness when his brothers were there flaunting themselves, believing they were the next kings. There was something he was learning. When the time came, God took Samuel with a horn of oil to the house of Jesse. They brought that boy. The anointing has a way of making everything that belongs to you find you.
Are we ready to pray this morning?
Enugu, let me tell you this. I speak with all honor. Men of God, if we reduce our public life and go back to the secret, you will see doors and see graces. You see, most people think this anointing thing and the rest is just something that happens by magic or people are lucky.
No.
The secret to the strength of men is not just their hunger for God, but their determination to walk with Him.
I'm seeking you as the precious jewel. Not to give up, I'll be a fool. You are my only hope. Sing Jesus.
Listen, in the next few minutes that I have, I'm going to give you room. Some of you need to come back to God and say, Lord, I can't be lying again. I left you sins. People have been looking at me thinking I'm alright, but Lord, I'm not alright. I come to the threshing floor of Naboth. Lord, I come and I cry before you. I cry before the gate for the sake of my destiny. I can't keep lying. Faithing it that my prayer life is okay. Faithing it that my word life is okay. I left you sins. I didn't used to be like this. Now watch me. Don't get me in pornography, masturbation, all kinds of things. I used to wake up every night. Now I snore myself till morning. Something is wrong. My hunger is lost. Oh God of heaven, arise and restore my hunger. Leave the issue of breakthrough. Leave the issue of miracles. Lord, I allowed my friends to take away your presence from my life. I used to love you. They stopped me from church. They stopped me from being a worker in the house of God. They stopped me from loving the things of God. And now I'm left. I don't even know scriptures. I don't even have a Bible. I have designer clothes, but I have no material. As a man of God, I only study on Saturday night just to preach on Sunday. I don't condemn you, but this morning, God is preparing a threshing floor before us. It's time to cry genuinely.
Emmanuel. 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 Emmanuel, your name is called Emmanuel, your name is called
Emmanuel. Listen, the Bible says he that conceals his sin will not prosper. He's not just talking of immoral things. Coming out of the presence of God and not placing value on Him is the same thing as the fish coming out of water. Are you ready to pray? The day God gave you a new phone, you bought an Android device. As you held the device, you left His hand. You're on every social media. You are everywhere but His presence. 5 minutes in His presence and you are yawning. You are moving around. You open your Bible. Some of us have not opened our Bibles in a long time. Let me tell you how you will know. One more key. When you have left the presence of God, freshness leaves your life. You see, you can know that a man is not current in the spirit, because what he's saying is not just freshness in terms of newness of information, but the anointing, the bread that came was just for the night. When they kept it, they were supposed to continue to seek him for more bread every day. They tried to save so that they would go and rest, and they got up and saw worms, because the bread comes on the basis of hunger. When your hunger remains, the bread comes fresh. So some people want to accumulate so that you will not need to seek him, and he said it's not so. Give us this day. When he gives you for today, you must seek him for tomorrow's own. He won't give you for today for next year. No, he will give you today's own alone so that you will seek him again. Are you ready to pray? There are many dangerous and devilish relationships that have killed the presence of God in our lives. That we not only need to pray this morning, but to make up our minds that, Lord, I'm not playing games. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every man that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. It is within your power. The prodigal son said, look, I will arise. And he came to himself. Some of you this morning, God is calling you. Come to yourself. Come to yourself. Do you know that some of you standing here looking at me, you are the only hope of your family? The plague of witchcraft has destroyed everybody. You are still allowing that devil to hold on to you. You are the last card that God is depending on as the altar of righteousness. Why will you allow the altars of Baal to rise? You know the condition upon which you were born. You know the condition of your loved ones. And the Spirit of God is searching for a bride that is aligned enough to allow him come. Will you avail yourself? In the next 5 minutes, find a corner and cry, I need you to God alone, and say, Lord, I return your presence.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Much less love and beauty and less wealth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Much less love and beauty and less worth.
That's how much you mean to me.
Nothing in this world will satisfy.
Not titles, not money.
Jesus, you're the cup that will run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
Just a few minutes and we're done.
Your presence is heaven to me. To worship you, I leave. To worship you, I leave to worship you. I leave to worship you.
I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye offer
Not just your money, your body. Your body, offer. Please pray one last prayer. Revive my life, O God. He said, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And Adam knew his wife again, and she gave birth to Seth, and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. There is a generation that seeks God in the similitude of Jacob. I'd like you to pray. Lord, I hold on to you until this habit breaks from my life. I hold on to you this morning until this pride. I hold on to you like Jacob. I won't let you go until this breaks in my life. Restore my hunger. Restore my passion. Restore my fire. I don't know where it went to, but I call it back. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Shall pray and seek my face.
There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in your life. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus,
just a few more minutes and we're rounding up. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. It takes becoming a living sacrifice for the fire to fall. When Elijah was about to call down fire, there was an altar first. There was a sacrifice first.
Fill me up, 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 fill me up. We pray, fill us up, fill us up.
Please help that gentleman. Help them, please.
Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. Wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run.
Seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. It says, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher. Just give me 2 minutes and we're done. There is a manifestation of the Spirit. Not in terms of impartation. God is restoring hunger. Restoring hunger. You are suddenly realizing how far you left God. You are suddenly realizing that it's a big issue. You are suddenly realizing it's not a little case.
Fill me up.
Ah.
You are brooding over every darkness. You are causing light to shine from. You are brooding over every darkness. You are causing. Oh God, oh God, as we call on your name, oh God, come pour out your mercy.
Lord Jesus, we stand and we genuinely, we repent genuinely for the little value. We have not discerned your usefulness in our lives. We have gone around building idols and we have ignored the giver of life. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every time I need thee, come bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Lord, we return. You are not wasting your time this morning service. He said, return to me and I will return to you. For everyone that seeketh, findeth. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. I submit to you that if you find God, you have found everything. I know that many of us think it's just a cliche. You will sit down looking for money till death and never find it except His presence. If God gives it to you, there are certain things called true riches. True riches is what can buy money. Money itself is a product. It is bought with something. I have met business people, I have met millionaires, I have met billionaires. I can tell you, you must be assisted from the realm of the spirit to ever make anything. If you are not, whether from a demonic realm or God decides to come to you and manifest His grace, it is vain to wake up in the morning and to sleep late in the night only to eat the bread of sorrows. God is calling some of us, you are laboring too much. It is very clear from the way you are working so hard that the hand of God is not in your life. Because if it is the Lord's doing, it must be marvelous in our eyes. What is happening in your life is not marvelous in our eyes. Many of us are struggling too much, struggling to make ends meet, struggling to connect to this and that. No. A voice declared from heaven, this is my beloved son. He said, hear ye him. Everybody heard him. Members will not just come because you are a man of God. Something from your secret place must make God vow a vow that I will honor you. Let's round up this morning. One song. As I sing that song, listen very carefully. Aside from those under the anointing, if you are here or up or outside, and you know genuinely, not some emotional thing, you are saying, I need Jesus desperately. This is not some games. I need Jesus desperately. I want you, while I'm singing this song, to just come this side and stand before the Lord. Jesus, I am from you. I proclaim you are. Come and cry before your Maker this morning.
Standing here in the midst of all, we raise you high with our praise. And as we worship you, your throne,
as we worship,
and as we worship you, your throne,
as we worship.
There's no space, just stand where you are. Listen to me. I know that some of you have given your life to Christ at one point or the other, but things just went haywire in your life, and you gave Satan an advantage. I want to pray for you right now. All of you who are standing or kneeling, if you came out for this call, whether you are giving your heart to Jesus for the first time or not, say this genuinely. You are not reciting a poem, brothers and sisters. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again, Lord Jesus. Tonight, win the war over my destiny. I declare that you are my Lord totally. I declare you are my Savior totally. I declare that I forsake every evil way and I come to you, O righteous God. I receive of your grace, I receive of your mercy, and I declare that from today I am yours forever. I declare that the power of sin, the power of the flesh, the power of Satan is broken over my life. Now, therefore, restore my hunger, restore my passion for prayer, for the Word of God, for the house of God, for corporate fellowship. Amen. Let me pray for you. I declare that every association or everything that has been introduced into your life that has taken the place of God, the grace to be separated from it, receive that grace now. I pray for you. Many of you coming out here to give your life to Christ have the call of God upon your life. You are the saviors that your families are looking for. God brought you to this conference not just to save you, but also to anoint you. You are watching witchcraft destroy your family. Your mother may have been praying for years, Lord, raise a child through my womb. And God answered that prayer in you. Just like our pastor shared and his brother and the entire family. It's time for you to give your life to Jesus. Not just by saying a prayer, but to mean it. I'm going to ask you to return back to your seat. I know there are a number of you. I want you to return back to your seat, but to do this convincingly. That everything that was the encumbrance and the advantage, you are leaving it on this altar. As you return back, God bless you. Please go back.
You have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You have decided.